Who in this room is a saint? Do we have any saints in the room? Okay, all right. I like it. Let me ask this question. Who in this room is a sinner? Okay, good, good, all right. Well, I hope by the end of this sermon, we'll see more hands raised on the first question. Okay, that's my aim point. And I wanted to do that to illustrate my point. The need for a sermon like this is important because the Christian life is a life lived in both of these realities. Both the Christian is both a saint and one who, in an ongoing way, battles sin. And my aim here today is to show this to you from this passage and many others. Saints and sinners is where we're going to be today. Colossians 3. Let me begin with Martin Luther's famous phrase in Latin, as it really landed for him, the idea that we are truly saved, justified by faith alone. He said, simul ustes et peccator. It means simul, you know the word simultaneous, or at once, at the same time, we are just or justified or righteous and sinner. At the same time, justified, declared righteous, and sinner. This is a reality in your life. Now, I want to say this up front. The "and" does not mean that these realities are exactly the same. And I want to show some of the differences there. Yes, we are saints, and yes, we are sinners, but not in the same way. And I think the difference is extremely hope-giving. I want to draw that out as we dig today. So let's go to our verses here, starting in Colossians 3, verse 1. If then you have been raised up with Christ, seek the things that are above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things that are above, not on the things that are on earth. For, okay, basis, foundation, for you have died. This is past tense language. Christian, you have died. And current reality, your life is presently hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will, future tense, what is coming? So past, present, future, you will also appear with him in glory. You see what he's speaking into, the reality of your life, Christian, today. This is where you're at. You have died. Your life presently is hidden with Christ in God. I want to show more of what that reality means. Then he goes on. Look at the very next verse. Put to death, therefore. See the echo, the expression of this reality is put to death what is earthly in you. And then he gives this list, and then he builds another list after that. Sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these two, you too once walked, right? Such were some of you, Paul would say elsewhere, when you were living in them, but now you must put them all away. So you were this, but now you must put away this. Put away what? Put them all away. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another. Seeing that you have put off the old self. Note the word have. You have put off the old self with its evil practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Key word there, being. You have put on the new self, which is being renewed. And I would say, day by day, daily, progressing, growing, being renewed in the knowledge after the image of its creator. So there is the both and, the both and. It's not an either or, Christian. It's a both and. And I want to draw attention to this because the and matters. The and is significant, not just for how you think about your past, But how you live today depends upon the and how you are confident in tomorrow. So the need for the and. Let's spend just a little time here. I'd like to draw this out a little. The need for the and. Why is it important that we identify the ampersand here? It's not an either or. It's a both and. Number one, I would say if we fail to rightly appreciate our sainthood, we will inevitably live in condemnation. If we do not rightly appreciate our sainthood as believers, as those who are in Christ, we will inevitably live in condemnation. Because here's the reality. We still sin. We still sin. It's an inescapable reality. If we don't appreciate the reality of our sainthood, of what has been accomplished by Christ, of the fullness of what Christ has done, and the Father's gavel that has pounded and declared us to be righteous, then we will live under the condemnation, under the weight of our sins. If you live in that place for very long, you will find expression to deal with that condemnation. One expression of dealing with condemnation is despair. You will despair. You will say, well, I guess there's hope for other people, but I must just be in my own category. I can't fathom that he loves me. I can't fathom that when he comes across me, like it's, the Father's up there and he's looking out over all his children and he gets to me and he's like, well, there's that one. Despair is a tool of the enemy. It's a weapon that he wields, and he wants you, Christian, to despair, to doubt the love of God, to not fully believe that it is possible that your sins could be washed away. He wants you to believe that you're in your own category. If you live in condemnation too long, it will lead you to despair. You need to know, Christian, you are a saint, to fight this impulse, to have hope in the Christian life today. If you live in despair, or condemnation too long, it may find another expression in your life, self-atonement. This is what leads to a lot of world religion, honestly. And it's possible in the Christian life, even subtly so, to live in such a way that you say, well, yes, I do believe that Jesus paid for my sins, but I really need to pay for my sins too. I need to do something. I have to try to earn God's favor. Sure, I'm forgiven, but what do I do to make him smile? How do I earn his favor? And oftentimes it will flow without really a purpose thought, but this idea of self-atonement. I have to pay. I have to grovel. I have to crawl up the steps on my knees and suffer. Because you know what? That's what I deserve. Because I'm such a horrible person, and this is just, it's just fitting, it's just right. It must be what God wants for me. He just frowns when he sees me. Therefore, I've got to try to earn his love. If you fail to esteem and realize and delight in your sainthood, Christian, it will lead to rampant dysfunction in the Christian life. We need to know the reality of what Christ has accomplished on our behalf. And when the gavel pounds and the verdict is given, righteous, Christian, you need to know how significant that is for your today in the way that you think about your relationship with God. If we fail to esteem our sainthood, it will lead to dysfunction. But the other part of this is also important. If we fail to esteem our sin in an ongoing reality, it will lead to all kinds of issues I mean, it will lead to this accommodation factor or the Keswick mindset of just let go and let God. I'm a saint, right? I'm a saint. I'm forgiven. It doesn't matter how I live. This antinomian instinct where I just say, well, sin isn't that big a deal. I'm forgiven, right? Romans 6, sin it up that grace may abound all the more. I got the fire insurance. I'm good to go. He doesn't care. It doesn't matter anymore. Wrong. Wrong. To live accommodating sin, to live making a place for sin in our lives, to live as if sin is no big deal, is a denial of the very salvation that has saved you. It cheapens the grace of God. It mocks the cross of God, of Jesus Christ. We are to go to war with sin. We are to be at odds with sin when we are at home with God. That is the change. That is the reality. We are sinning in this life. And Christian, I hate to break it to you, but everyone who is a believer in this room, who is a saint, will battle sin until your dying day or until the trumpet sounds and we are raptured. There is no state of perfection. There's no maturity that you reach and you're like, oh, good, that's over. Right? This is our work, our life as believers. We fight sin because we are saints. So the and is important. You can't do an either or. And honestly, there's an inclination, I think, in each of us to maybe lean and identify this direction or that. And we've got to be aware of that, right? I think there's an inclination even in churches in our county that would lean maybe this way or this way. And the scripture calls us down the middle to the both and. We are to hold fast to both of these realities. So let's consider the first, our righteous position. Our righteous position. Christian, you are indeed a saint. When I say saint, I mean righteous. I don't mean saint in the way the Roman Catholic Church means in their just sainthood of the first millennial, right? Did you read the story on Fox News, all this stuff? What a horrible mishandling of God's word that is. When I say saint, I mean in the sense that the scriptures call you a saint, call you a holy one, one set apart, one sanctified in Christ. Consider Romans 5, verse 1. Therefore, since we have been justified, the word justified there means declared righteous. How? By faith. That's how. Not by works. It's by faith. In whom? In Christ. We have peace with God. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. The focal point of our faith is always Jesus. It's always Jesus. The verdict is righteous. And the effect is an end to hostility. No more enemy. No more enmity. It is done. The war is over. The rebel, the enemy is made a son forever, a saint. Through him we have also, key words there, look at the past tense. We have been, we have obtained, you have this. You have access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. What we have in part, and the fullness is coming. It's certain. It's coming. The seal of the Holy Spirit is stamped upon your life. He is the down payment of all that is coming your way. Nothing can separate you from the love of God, which is yours in Jesus Christ. Nothing. You're a saint, Christian. You're a saint. By faith alone, in Jesus Christ, alone, to the glory of God, alone. And how is this possible? By grace alone. None of us here deserve sainthood. None of us in this room. Only rebels, can be called saints by faith. Justification by faith alone, this is the core tenet of the Reformation. It's all over the scriptures. Here's a couple key verses from Romans 3. For by works of the law, no human being will be justified in his sight. Not a single one. And then he goes on, Paul goes on to say in verse 28, for we hold that one is justified, that is declared righteous by faith apart from works of the law. You're not earning this. You can't earn it. It is a gift of God. There's no boast here. No one in this room can boast and say, well, I did a little thing. I did something, right? I deserve a little credit. Just a little flag of boasting here. Not a single boast in us. It's all of grace. God gives the very faith that saves. That's a gift of his grace. And so we praise him and we praise him forever. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin. That is Jesus Christ. The Father made him, his Son, to be sin who knew no sin, that in him we might become the righteousness of God. This is the great exchange. This is the work of God in the gospel. This is how God can both be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in him. Because his justice has to be upheld. How does he uphold his justice when he forgives people like you and me? By pouring it out on his Son on the cross. It's an amazing gift. Not only does Jesus take the wrath that I have stored up because of all of my sin and pay it in full, but he credits to my account all of his righteousness. Every time he obeyed is credited to my account. So, Christian, know this. You're a saint. You're a saint. And when God the Father looks at your life, he sees the obedience of his Son. He does not frown over you, Christian. Let that land. The Father does not frown at your life. Why? Because he sees Jesus draped all over you. All of his obedience is yours today. You have it. It's in your account. You are righteous. That's how you can be declared righteous. You're not just neutral. It's not just a zero balance. It is righteous in Christ. Truly, truly, I say to you, Jesus says, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. He does not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life. That's you, saint, Christian. That's you today, today. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. I love this last week, the verse that Ernesto had printed out. He is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, new has come. It's true. Was that the verse or was that a different one? Yeah? That was the one. Yes. Man, all week long I was remembering those baptism celebrations. New creation. You're new. Okay? Now, let me tap into this just a little more. I want you to realize this. Before you were saved, the deepest thing about you was your rebellion and sin. Once you are saved, that's gone. That's passed away. The truest you is no longer rebel. The truest you is saint, righteous in Christ. Christian, today, the deepest reality of your life is not sin. It is the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Know this and be encouraged. The truest you is righteous. Is righteous. A radical change of identity. If you are in Christ, you are a saint today. You are a saint. It is your position. It is your reality. It is it's the arness. You are a saint. Is that a word? The arness. The amness. It's your identity. If you realize this, it changes the way you think about everything. It is incredibly hope-giving. You need to know this, believer. For you have died, key words here, past tense. You have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. In what way is it hidden? How is it hidden? In this way, we are hidden in His righteousness. Hidden, kept, robed. We are His and His forever. And He's coming. And you will appear with Him in glory. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness, Paul says earlier in Colossians. He has, Christian. He has delivered you from the domain of darkness where you chose to live and where you happily lived and would have stayed if not for God's grace to the fires of eternal hell. That's where we would be, left to ourselves. He has taken us from that place and sovereignly and graciously transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, forgiveness. You're a saint. Today, you're a saint. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. That's how we can say that and not be like, well, I mean, it'd be nice if that was real. No, it's true. Today, for you, Christian, saint, there's no condemnation for you who are in Christ Jesus. You are forgiven. It is a category of position. It is your reality. It will never change. He has accomplished this change. It is who you are, and it is who you will always be by grace alone, as you are in Christ. Martin Lloyd-Jones said it this way, if you're a Christian, you don't need to prove anything to God. Let me just say that again. If you are a Christian, you don't need to prove anything to God. You don't have to try to win His favor. You have His favor already. Rest in that today. Sometimes I feel like in our fight against sin, we run too quick to the fight and we forget our reality. As we move to the fight, this is true. This is true. You want motivation for the fight? Live here for a bit. You don't have to prove anything to God. Nothing you can do will earn the favor of God that is already yours because of the perfect obedience of Jesus Christ, where you are found in Him by faith today. We are, my friends, saints and sinners. Saints and sinners. Now, I find this interesting. In the New Testament, God's people are often referred to in this category as saints, the holy ones, the called out, right? The sanctified, the set apart, all kinds of references. In fact, someone counted somewhere around 40 mentions of believers in that category. How many times in the New Testament are Christians referred to as sinners? What would be your guess? Guess what? Rarely. Rarely. The Bible doesn't say that you don't sin. But at the level of identity, the case could be made that there are basically no references of that. To refer to a believer as an identity level sinner. No, we are saints who fight sin. Okay, so yes, we are saints at identity level, and we are sinners, but not at identity level. We are saints who fight ongoing and besetting and indwelling sin that clings so closely, and we fight it, but the reason we fight it is because we're saints. This is important to know. This is important to know who you are, Christian. You're a saint. You see why I ask the questions up front? This is so important for us to have at the forefront of every day. Who am I in Christ? I am a saint. I am righteous in the eyes of my Father. But there is work to do. So our righteous position, which helps establish then our righteous progression, in the Christian life. How are we to address then what is inconsistent with the reality of our righteous position? Will we go to war? What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. We all want to say right here, I know, meganoito, right? That's the Greek there. Meganoito. When we went through Romans, we worked on that together. So if you're new, that's what we're talking about. May it never be. How can we who died to sin still live in it? Why is Paul using language like that? That's identity language. That's sainthood language. Christian, you died to sin. How did you die to sin? In Christ. The death that he died to sin. So that just as we were baptizing last week, when he died, I died. I died to all of that rebellion. I died to all of that sin. It is buried. It is before Christ. It's dead and gone. And when he was raised, I was raised. I'm not who I was. Why would I continue in sin if I died to it? That's the heart of the argument. Who I now am changes how I now live. The secret to the fight against sin in the Christian life is know who you are. Know who you are already in Christ. It will set you on a fight against sin. It's the only right approach to battle sin in our lives. As we grow in godliness. Now, wouldn't it be great if we could just be like, okay, you ready? Let's go. Let's go fight. We come back next week and we win. It's done. We just did it. Okay. Did you eradicate sin? Totally. Me too. Awesome. Now, the rest of our lives, we get to just be righteous like we are positionally. Oh, man. It makes you long for the trumpet. It makes you long for the day when sin will be no more. We're not there yet, friends. We're not there yet. There's a fight. There's a fight. We are at war with the old self. We are to grow in godliness. Now, the reality is that it's not a perfect work. Don't expect perfection. Aim for it. But look for progression. Look for progress. Aim for perfection. The standard is Christ, holiness, perfect righteousness. That is the aim point at every stage of the Christian life until we die or hear the trumpet sound. But the goal is growth. It's like climbing a sand dune, right? Three steps forward, you slide back a little, you keep fighting, and you gain. And little by little, you look back over the year and you say, oh, praise God. Praise God. I'm not who I was when I started this year. That's your work, God. Thank you that I am fighting and killing sin in my life in your strength through the reality of who I am. Make me more true to be who I already am in Christ. Put to death. Mortify is the word. Kill it. Put it to death. What is earthly in you? That's the old stuff. Don't let it cling to your feet. Don't let it trip you up. Go after it. Kill it. It's not who you are. That's what he's saying. Look at the list here. Sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. That is culture all around us, right? Your great enemies, the world, the flesh, the devil. The culture that's all around us. There are no issues with that. Let it rip. Do your thing, right? Not for the Christian, not for the saint, the one who is set free from that. But the old self, like the old person, that was how we thought. That was how we walked. We used to walk in that. No, not anymore. Satan can tempt, and he will. He'll come at you, try to trip you up. But that's not who I am anymore. I died to that. I'm at odds with that. I'm at war with that. You once walked in these ways when you were living in them, but no longer, Christian. Put them all away. Wrath, malice, slander, obscene talk. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you've put off the old self with its evil practices and put on the new self that's in Christ, being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Be who you are in Christ. That's the best way to sum it up. Be who you are in Christ. Lord, help me today to be who I already am in Christ. Help me to live out my sainthood, as it were. Help me to be righteous and holy as you are. At one time, you were darkness. Keywords, you were. You were not just in. You were darkness. But now you are light. I love that verse. So what? Walk as children of the light. Be light as you are. As obedient children, don't be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. This is the call of our lives. The persevering fight against sin in the Christian life evidences that we are no longer who we were. Not perfect, but persevering. Right? Not perfect, but progressing. Till our dying day. Beloved, we are God's children now. This is true for you. You're a child. You're a saint. What we will be has not yet appeared, but we know that when he appears, we shall be like him because we shall see him as he is. Everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure. Look at the effect. That this is who we are. We're children of God, and we're anticipating his return. And because we anticipate his return, we love him. Purify. Purify. Holiness flows out of identity. So position, I am declared righteous or justified in Christ. Progression, I am being sanctified in Christ as I work in his strength. And perfection someday, it's coming. This is coming for you, saints. It's coming. We will indeed be glorified in Christ. There will come a day in your life upon his return or upon your death when sin will be vanquished, no more a reality. So our response this morning, listen to this quote from Paul Tripp that I came across just yesterday. This captures the heart of what I'm longing to encourage us all with, believers. Listen to this. Christian, Christ has gained God's favor on your behalf. So your obedience is never a fearful payment, but a hymn of gratitude to a God who met you where you were and did for you what you could not have done for yourself. You see what he's saying? You see how that changes the way you live your day, Christian? You are not digging out of a pit. You're not trying to atone for sins. You're not trying to earn the favor of God. You are expressing joy-filled obedience as a hymn of gratitude. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. All to him I owe. I delight to obey. Oh God, help me obey more because it's who I am now as a saint, a redeemed one, and someday who I will be completely through and through, head to toe. Let's pray. Father, I pray if there are any here who are not in Christ, any here who have yet to turn from their sin and trust Jesus as their Savior, their Lord, their treasure, their hope alone in this life and the next. Oh God, even now, open their eyes to see your beauty and glory. Stir in their hearts a song of praise. Help them to see their need to repent of sin and run to you, Jesus, for salvation. Do what we can't do, O Lord. Bring salvation. Make dead souls come alive through the power of your Holy Spirit and the good news of the gospel. Save to the utmost, we pray. And Father, thank you that you don't just save us and walk away, but that you continue to work to make us holy. Oh Lord, help us remember who we are as your chosen saints. that we would live in accordance with that reality more and more this week than last week, that you would be glorified and that more would know your saving power. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.